Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is Ron Wallace, and I'm here with Terry Saunders, and we're going to take you through a Tivoli talk on IBM Maximo for Utilities 7.1.2. If you'll open your deck and go to the first chart, a second chart, we'll begin. Today's agenda, we're going to cover an overview of IBM Maximo for Utilities, how it's positioned, and talk about our market leadership position. We're also going to be covering Maximo Spatial Asset Management because it is included with the release of Maximo for Utilities. We'll have a discussion on pricing and packaging, as well as some information on working with ESRI. It's very important for you to realize that Maximo for Utilities is intended to support the transmission and distribution of water, wastewater, gas, and electricity. Core Maximo addresses the needs of most power generation facilities, whether it be fossil, hydro, wind, or other alternative energy sources. And, of course, Maximo for nuclear power meets the needs for nuclear generation. IBM Maximo for Utilities has been very successful in the transmission and distribution area. We have over 80 customers globally. We have a focused development team. We're working closely with development partners. Key accounts for us include Arizona Public Service, DTE Energy, NiSource, Eskom in South Africa, Scotia Gas Networks over in Europe, Duke Energy, Baltimore Gas and Electric, Portland General Electric, Ford Gas, ADWEA, that's the Abu Dhabi Water and Electricity Authority, and then NT Power and Water in Australia. So you can see there's a global footprint. Generally, when people select Maximo for Utilities, it's because of the value of consolidating all of a utility's asset management solutions onto one platform. We often find that utilities are using different solutions in power generation, in gas, electric, T&D, for their facilities, for their vehicles, and IT assets. And one of the powerful things about the Maximo platform is the ability to address all these different classes of assets in the common system. We're using a modern technology platform that's J2EE certified that supports service-oriented architecture and offers standardization, scalability, flexibility, and security that's the top of the line in the market. We've developed a rich set of specific features for T&D, which we'll be telling you more about, and we also I think it's important to note that we're supporting the convergence of IT and OT. That's operational technology and information technology, probably best exemplified in a smart meter that was once a mechanical device and now includes IT components, a motherboard, an IP address, and things of that sort. And as you'll see, we've been able to maintain a leadership position in the Gartner Magic Quadrants and other analysts' results, and as I mentioned, we have a dedicated team of developers and client development partners for transmission and distribution. Moving to chart three, one of the interesting things about the utility industry is how little it had changed over nearly the past 100 years. And now, for the past few years, the new smart grid technologies and movement is completely changing the way that utilities are interacting with their customers and between all their different assets. So we're now seeing the utilities are plugging into their customer base with this new technology to address concerns about reliability, the environment, and consumption. Another factor that we're seeing pretty much everywhere around the world is the industry has an aging workforce and an aging asset base. And a lot of this is supported by aging information systems infrastructure as well, creating a perfect storm for transformational change. And this is really necessary in order to bring the continued operational excellence and capture the knowledge that's in the existing experienced workforce into systems that can be brought forward into the future. Another important driver that we're seeing is regulatory factors. Governments in every geography are mandating rules around utilities to implement critical infrastructure protection and security at the national, regional, and local levels. And finally, there are new technologies being introduced for the intelligent grid that really change the way that the value chain operates with huge new data flows. Think of it as two-way directional, bi-directional flows. We'll talk more about that in a minute. I also wanted to note that we're seeing the larger ENU sector team is leveraging Software Group and Maximo Asset Management in particular in a number of initiatives that they're undertaking, most notably around the SAFE framework. That's the Solution Architecture for Energy and Utilities. Maximo is a core part of that under asset lifecycle management, and there's also additional focus around the seven top projects that the ENU team is promoting to their clients, and Maximo is included there as well. If we look at chart four, this is the standard market force chart that's used by the ENU team when they reach out to their clients to explain the challenges that the industry is facing and why there's this need for transformation in the business models. And I wanted to show you this today to see how much this standard chart intersects with asset management-related capabilities. So you can see that they're highlighting the aging performance of the assets and the need by customers to experience higher reliability. They're talking about increased pressure for improved operational efficiency and workforce productivity. Both of those things fit nicely into asset management. There's this greater involvement with the customer driving the smart meter effort that we see across the board on a worldwide basis. So Maximo fits very nicely into this general messaging. If you move to chart five, this is a great depiction of how much this utility delivery model has changed. So when we talk about not really changing much for 100 years, that's this model on the left where a utility generates power, sends it down their transmission lines, out to their distribution network, and ultimately to their customer. And for an awful long time, you had this model where if the utility needed more power, they had a power plant. And they handled all the different components kind of in an integrated fashion. And over the last few years, we began to see the change as utilities spun off into being generation only or distribution only and potentially a transmission system only. But if you look on the right at the fully transformed model, here you see you have distributed generation. You have multiple generation sources. You have less central generation. You have ultimately the introduction of plug-in vehicles that could potentially be feeding back into the grid. And at every point along the way, there's the need for two-way flows of information in order to make the system work effectively. The goal in this is when more power is needed, the answer wouldn't automatically be build another power plant. it might be to encourage greater conservation by the customer base by educating them on when peak load is and things of that sort. If we look at chart six, the message here is no longer can a utility live with the inflexibility and complexity of siloed operations, and it applies in nearly everything they do. Of course, the area we're most concerned about is the asset lifecycle management. And again, these are charts that would apply across the board to virtually any utility. Chart 7 is highlighting the fact that software is critical to enabling this new smarter energy and utility solution. And it is becoming increasingly viewed as a strategic business asset. Utilities are finding that they need software to help drive this grid transformation with standards and flexibility. They need this increased visibility and control of operations and support IT, and the ability to turn network data into actionable information throughout the company. And so the leaders in the industry are increasingly deploying intelligent software systems and products to meet these challenges. And the acceleration of this innovation is certainly creating opportunity for the IBM company and for Maximo. If we look at chart 8, this is just a partial list of some of our transmission and distribution clients. And I wanted to put it out there just so you can get some flavor, see that we're operating around the globe. One interesting note about the list of distribution customers. Prior to MRO Software's acquisition 4 years ago, we had worked closely with IBM. And so the utilities at the top of this distribution list actually were implemented jointly with IBM and MRO Software, the producers of Maximo, back in the mid-90s. So we've actually been working in this space for well over 10 years and working with IBM. And it's only a natural progression as you move down through the list to some of our newer clients that we're working with in many geographies. Going to chart 9, I want to spend another minute on this notion of siloed asset management. It is not uncommon to go to a large utility, or even one that's not that large, and find that they have a system for managing assets and fossil generation that's completely different than the one that they are using in transmission or in distribution, and most likely different than whatever they might be doing for their vehicles or for their IT assets. So each one of these, and not to mention the fact the nuclear generation business unit almost always had something different. And each one of these needed to address fundamentally the same work and asset management problems, the same planning and scheduling problems, the needing to have the same asset database, the ability to manage supply chain and contract management. And in some cases, for example, in T&D, they have specialty requirements such as crew estimated in GIS integration. And I think you see the trend here. In addition, due to having legacy systems that were not very flexible, every one of these business units would have what we call pop-up apps. These are applications that pop up on engineers' desktops like dandelions on a nice green lawn because the current system doesn't accommodate the changes that are needed to meet regulatory requirements, new types of equipment, and things of that sort. So what you've created is quite a complex IT environment with multiple solutions that serve the same purpose that don't talk to one another. So if we go to chart 10, this is our vision of the way this should be handled with Maximo, which is able to address all these different business units with a common set of business practices that allow you to spread the business practices across the entire organization, to share inventories, to drive the adoption of best practices in such a way that a valve is repacked the same way in every plant, that every part of the organization is not maintaining an inventory on items that are hardly ever used, and have what we would like to call one version of the truth as it relates to the assets and the related resources to operate the utility. So moving to chart 11, I think here I'd like to ask Terry if he can come in and take us through some of the information about Maxwell for Utilities. Terry?
Yeah, thank you, Ron. Let me walk you through an important history of how we have been able to develop this product to help our customers solve their true business problems. And I think the first thing that sets us apart from other companies who are developing software in this industry is how closely we work with our customers. We take what's described as a development partner approach. We select customers who have experience using our products and are looking at ways to extend its use to solve other parts of the business problem and break down these silos that you'll see existing in various parts of the business. So we have customers like Duke Energy and Baltimore Gas and Electric and Detroit Energy and Portland General, Salt River Project. Colorado Springs is a multi-utility with water and gas and electric as well, and wastewater. So they work with us to really define the requirements. And when we do this, we make sure that we come up with a solution that doesn't just work for one utility, but represents best practices across the utilities, thereby having not only just a great set of applications a customer can use, but a set of applications that emulates a best practice based on the mind share of many of our customers across various different utilities. And as we progress further and come across solving newer business problems, sometimes we'll invite new utilities to participate because of their interest and expertise in that particular development effort. Now, the development of this product or industry solution goes back quite a ways. In fact, prior to being part of IBM, we worked with IBM on developing compatible unit estimating. Compatible unit estimating, particularly in North America, is very, very common, but the idea of coming up with common units of construction is common in all utilities because of the considerable amount of construction that they will do with new subdivisions, with actually street widening projects, with having to relocate poles or underground transmission or distribution lines, water and wastewater lines. So it's very common to stay abreast with the activity of construction within a utility. And, of course, they want to have a common model of assets in their infrastructure to better support maintenance and better support reliability across the utility. So we first worked with IBM on developing that compatible unit estimating application back in our release 4 of Maximo. When we moved to release 5, we actually then were able to make it part of the industry solution, and then later we added crew management along with compatible unit estimating, and that came out in our version 6 in 2005. From there, we recognized how important it is for a utility where they use geographical information systems across their whole network, across their whole customer base, to identify exact locations of poles, transformers, substations, you know, manholes, hydrants, all of that through their infrastructure. They really tend to identify in a GIS system. So we felt it was very important for us to integrate to GIS, and we selected the market leader, ESRI, now referred to just simply as ESRI, to help us with an integration, and we integrate to the ArcGIS server, which really provides more of a geospatial capability where you can understand the context of your assets in relationship to right-of-ways, in relationship to different streets and access points, and in relationship to crews that may be working in the area. So this is very important to work efficiently, quickly, and reliably in the in the service territory. Then we went further to add what we call the CPM for crews in the 7.1.1 release, And we also added a service address application, and we felt that was very important because it allowed our utility customers to quickly identify work orders, service requests, assets, or locations on a map by simply having an address associated with that record, which may represent the customer premise, or simply by having an XY coordinate, we could immediately geolocate that on the map for customers. So that added quite a bit of capability. And even in cases where customers may not be using ESRI as their GIS system, it has that ability to geolocate those on a map. So that provides great capability and, of course, is part of the utilities product. Now, most recently, we just released the 7.1.2 release, and this is our release that really expands asset management to manage the customer revenue meters, some of the mass activities that are taking place right now to install smart meters throughout their entire territory. But it supports all of these kinds of devices that they have to manage in their asset register. And I'll walk you through a little more of those capabilities on how we essentially manage this as an asset within Maximo. That means all of the bulk or mass receiving of all these meters as they're received on the dock on pallets, being able to put those into trucks and manage those as a storeroom as they're installed into customer locations. And then, of course, all of the sampling that takes place to make sure that they're reliable and that that can be reported back to regulatory organizations. A very important and difficult process because we're talking about utilities managing more than thousands, many times into the millions of meters to support their customer base. We also added something called task work dependencies. So there's a great deal of activity that occurs when utilities are working on these projects that will require permitting from regulatory agencies. And some of these permits, of course, have to be achieved and granted prior to work to proceed. And so this really establishes the predecessor and successor relationships of these tasks, activities to work, so that it can be clear on whose responsibility is it next in that supply chain of activity of work and make sure that the next step is accomplished to proceed forward with that job. As we move forward, we're going to be adding further support to our scheduler application. We already do support our scheduler application for crews as well as individual laborers. And the labor force there, and we're adding more additional support to that in our next release. Of course, one major advantage we have is that our utility solution supports all of the major databases. We support DB2, Oracle, and, of course, SQL Server. So we're really supporting the water, wastewater, electric, and gas utility and distribution organization and transmission. We further provide the development for our transformation, you know, into smart grid or the intelligent utility network, and we're continuing to working with our customers on identifying this challenge because as we touch closer to the customer in real time and start to manage, you know, what the load is and what the demand is from the customer, we are better able to respond to that. And, of course, there's a great amount of information that's being received to manage all of that. So we're working closely with our customers to make sure that they're capable of doing that as we move into the future. We are the only vendor that's actually in the Gartner Leaders Quadrant, and Ron will talk more about that. And it's very, very important because, you know, when a customer is looking to replace critical systems like this within their utility, they really look for impartial measurements and assessments of the products that are out there and that are going to best meet their needs, not just now, but well into the future. Because when a customer makes a selection, it's not a short-term decision. It goes for many, many years. So, Ron, if you would walk us through the Gartner Magic Quadrant on the next slide.
Sure. Well, looking at chart 12, here is a picture of the Gartner Magic Quadrant graphic that I'm sure many of you are familiar with. This is actually part of a roughly 16-page report that Gartner produces, and in this case, they're looking at what they call delivery utility enterprise asset management. For many years, the Gartner organization produced enterprise asset management magic quadrant, and the Maximo product was always in the leadership position there. Over the last few years, they shifted to looking at specific industries, and as time has gone on, they are producing magic quadrants for fewer industries. And in fact, last couple of years they had manufacturing and utilities, and this year they're down to two magic quadrants in the utility space, and this is one of them, which I think of as being the T&D magic quadrant. And you can see we're the only vendor in the leader's position. And if you were to compare this to last year, you'd see that a number of our competitors have lost presence or position in their respective niches. Now, you can follow the link in this chart and see the entire report, which I would encourage you to do. You can also provide this link to your customers and allow, and they can, it takes you to a Gartner site where you can download the full report. The one thing that the rules don't allow for us is we're not allowed to take the actual PDF and send it ourselves. So I hope you'll do that. If we go to chart 13, this shows the other magic quadrant. Now, this one is for power generation. And here again, we're the only vendor in the leadership quadrant, and this shows our leadership position in power gen and supports this idea of consolidation of asset management systems across an entire utilities, different lines of business. If we look at chart 14, there's one other organization that measures the success of enterprise asset management companies and products, and this is the ARC Research, and they have for a number of years produced a report that's the worldwide EAM outlook, and in there they look at who has the largest market share for software and for software and services, and Maximo and IBM by far have the largest market share. It's something like 21.8% for software, and the next competitor's roughly 10 points less. So that's quite a good achievement for us. And you'll see that this report also looks at a number of different segments, and we are the leader in Tier 1 customers in total software revenue, maintenance support revenues, implementation service revenues, in different types of assets. We're the leader in linear assets, which, of course, would be important in utilities, facilities, and what they call on-site EAM as opposed to hosted EAM. And then there's another area where they look at a number of specific industries, and over the last 4 years, we've held either the first or second position in a number of segments, and I would highlight electric power and electric T&D are two that's true, as well as water and wastewater. So we've been in the top one or two every year for the last 4 years in this chart. Moving on to 15, I'm going to turn it back over to Terry, where he's going to go into quite a bit more detail about the Maximo for Utilities 7.1.2 release.
Thank you, Ron. Let me spend a little time talking about the major components that are part of this release now that's available to our customers. I talked a little bit about compatible unit estimating, which includes a full library to support the estimating of these compatible units of construction. And think about it simply as that. These are construction units which are compatible throughout their service territory. Very, very important to maintain that, and really helps in their efficiency with defining these units of construction. Then, of course, utilities typically work not as individual laborers on many of these jobs, but they're working as a crew. So we provide full support of crew capabilities to define all the elements of a crew. That means all the qualifications of the crew, who is the actual licensed driver of that vehicle, what vehicles are part of this particular crew, who's certified for providing a CPR in case they would need to do that within a problem on a job. And all the different qualifications that exist by that crew, whether they have hot stick capabilities or not, and all the resources and tools that make up that crew as one work unit. So that's what we manage with the crew application, and that can be changed and can be sometimes in what they call the morning shuffle, when the crew comes in and they determine who's available for that given day of work, and they can reassign people and resources and vehicles as needed for the crew to support that day's schedule. We also support the schedule product, allowing that to be used for crews and schedule individual crews to the actual work that's being assembled for that day or week or period of time. One of the things that we find so important in a utility is the wide ecosystem they have of different applications. And so our open architecture really allows support of these different applications to interoperate with one another. And I provided a link there from our integrated service management library that really has the Maximo integration framework. I'll call it it's really a software developer's kit to allow them to support mobile workforce management tools, graphical design tools, and reporting their fixed assets into their accounting system. So these are all very important and allows them to get, no matter what vendor might be providing some of those applications, to quickly get those integrated and operating within the Maximo for Utilities environment. Now, of course, we are supporting meters as assets to be managed within Maximo and support that life cycle, and I'll talk a little bit more of that in the next slide. And I mentioned task prerequisites to help them manage all the different steps required along the way to complete some of these major job activities, and making sure that there's a permit for occupancy that's actually been granted before they actually energize the premise customer site. So all these are quite important. I mentioned the service address application, which now is a part of the Spatial, but of course you don't have to have GIS installed to take advantage of the service address application, and that is installed. And we have, as I mentioned, the GIS or map tab is available from the work order, the service request, locations, and the assets. Now, I've also provided a link for you on this particular slide so that you can go directly to the recorded session, what's called the Tivoli Technical Enablement session, the TTEC, for the Utility 712 release. And there you'll hear Jerry Miller talk in great detail and actually provide demonstrations of the product on how it supports meter asset management. Going on to slide 16, spend a little bit of time of looking at what that life cycle is for meters as they enter into the utility. So first off, you have utilities will arrive typically by truck, typically on many, many pallets, which could be well over 5,000 to 9,000 meters on a truck, well over 100 meters per pallet, 1,000 meters on a pallet, and then they have to actually receive those. So we can take the ASN file, the Advanced Shipping Notice, and be able to actually generate those individual meter records for those particular thousands of meters being received there in the meter shop. Now, at first, of course, they've got to be quarantined because they have to be validated and tested. So this allows the random sampling to be taking place in the meter shop and then actually accept those into the storeroom and as part of the stock of meters to be installed out on the customer premise. From there, they may become part of the rolling storeroom stock in a truck until they're actually installed in premise. And in some cases, of course, they will remove the meter and do testing back in the meter shop if this was part of a standard inspection where they're taking random sampling of meters, or if it's a new install where they're replacing an existing meter with a current smart meter device. From there, of course, it returns to the truck back into the storeroom for testing, and after successful testing or minor repair, it may be returned back into inventory, or it may be considered end of life in the case where these meters are going to be replaced with smart meters and no longer be used in their customer install base. So we support that entire process, all the way from receiving new meters, all the way through sampling of existing meters to make sure that they're reliable and reporting correctly to the customer information system and billing, and, of course, all the way to the end-of-life retirement. If you go on to slide 17, it mentions in a high level what these new capabilities are in the 7.1.2 release of Maximo for Utilities. So as I mentioned, we're able to import test results either on an XML or a flat file. We're able to store these test results, and that's on the specific meter record itself, whether it's a gas meter on that tab or the electric sub-tab. We can generate meter sampling work orders to be able to go out and sample these specific work orders, these meters, and collect them and track that through the work order. And then we can create individual work orders just for replacing or retiring a specific meter. So the whole meter replacement process is supported through work management through the work order system. Now, this really provides great value for the customer to fully support all assets within Maximo, including these meters, to create and manage large volumes of these meters. And, of course, it just automates the whole work management process itself to make it more efficient. If you move on to slide 18, the real challenge that we face with doing this, of course, is we're talking about an environment where customers are replacing millions of meters in their customer base. So the ability to actually receive bulk shipments of meters and be able to transfer these becomes very, very important. So we were able to do that and support receiving these as rotating assets, and then able to transfer these in bulk between locations and issue assets in bulk so that we could manage the great deal of this work that's taking place in a large subdivision territory. And then, of course, the organization's T&D application really allows the customer to define meter sampling templates so that they can sample common types of meters throughout their installed territory and support the regulatory requirements of meter sampling. If you move on to the next slide, on slide 19, I mentioned how we're supporting the prerequisites on both the T&D work order tracking applications. We've added the ability to track both the prerequisite activities, so you're talking about predecessor and successor relationships, and the backlog of those prereq activities, and those are assigned to individual owner groups so that they can manage their work in support of the entire project that's being managed. And, of course, that really helps, allow a customer to be much more efficient when they can identify these administrative activities that must precede construction well in advance and make sure that they can track who is actually responsible for that. You can actually create escalations and alerts, which can be sent to individuals when their time is coming close for these to be due, to make sure that they are managed and processed and don't hold up other work groups. So very, very important in terms of their overall efficiency of managing and tracking the work of these projects. If you move on, I want to start to talk a little bit more about the GIS or spatial integration. So as I mentioned, with spatial, we've essentially added a very clean look and feel to the Maximo applications to look fairly natural as it's part of Maximo by adding this map tab to the work order, the service request, the asset, or the location. We're not duplicating any of that data. We're actually reviewing that and providing that map being served up in real time in Maximo from the ArcGIS server. And as I said, our goal was to make it look as natural a part of the application as possible. And we've had very good feedback from our customers, both those that are used to using the GIS as well as those that are quite accustomed to Maximo, on how well that fits into their workflow and how quickly they were able to understand how to use it because of its intuitive design. If you move on to slide 21, I mentioned the fact here, it's important to look at, that we designed it specifically so energy and utilities and oil and gas could consume the spatial application within their current installs. And we deliver an integration framework that really supports all of ESRI's ArcGIS server technology. We've exposed the GIS data to Maximo users to allow them to support their business process, and it really allows you to visualize all of your GIS assets in one geographical context so that you can really understand the relationships of work, assets, and the land-based features to better manage that work. One of the things that you can do with Maximo Spatial, which is really quite important that you could not do without this visualization, is let's just describe the creation of a polygon feature. So if you needed to identify a corridor where vegetation management needed to occur, or you wanted to identify a series of poles in a subdivision for an inspection, well, you could simply draw that polygon on a map showing the extent of that work and associating that with the work order so that it can be clearly identified of what work needs to be accomplished within, I'll call, a mass asset environment or vegetation management type of situation, or replacements of sections of roofs or parking lots, very clearly defining the extent of that work, a real benefit with putting Maximo and Spatial together. If we move on to slide 22 here, I'm trying to help illustrate for you the kinds of benefits that you see with putting GIS or Spatial into the context of your work management. So you're able to clearly define those work locations like I just described with using a polygon so that there's no doubt on where that work should start and finish. You're able to plan and schedule your work by area so that you can actually do a query on a map and identify what are all the current work orders that are open in that particular geography, and you could select those by priority or type of work and be able to schedule your work crews to work efficiently in that one particular geographical area. You can make queries over a map by address to be able to look for more details on different related work that might be in specific locations. And by the way, of course, by doing all this, you're going to optimize the truck rolls so that you're spending less and less time actually in the vehicle and getting right to where the work can be accomplished and being able to define clearly from going from one work site to another. As we move forward, you'll see further analytical advantages that will be able to take advantage of the kinds of what's called temporal analytics, which is looking at work and failures over time, and that will be supported further with some of the GIS analytics capabilities and analytics that we provide in the product itself to better manage and schedule future outages and anticipate work that could occur, let's say, because of a storm surge or a major weather pattern moving into the area and be able to plan effectively to support the work that's required for that. Moving on to slide 23, gives you a picture of what the Maximo Spatial looks like on a map tab within the environment. And the great breakthrough here was that we were able to use a new technology called the JavaScript REST API, which gave us tremendous performance improvements. And this is really all part of the SAFE architecture software stack, as ESRI is an enabled partner of ours. And we were able to use this technology to immediately improve performance dramatically. I think our customers have been just amazed. I've actually done demonstrations of the product actually over a wireless network and, you know, supporting access to the server, which is, of course, many thousands of miles away, and it renders those maps quite quickly and provides the data for the customer. So that's very, very important in terms of rendering that for the customer. If you move on to slide 24, this is really a reference slide for you because there's a great number of details, and I recognize that sometimes when you look at all of the release numbers, it's become somewhat like alphabet soup. And so it's very important to understand the different releases. And the release we're talking about today with utilities is Maximo 7112, and that operates with the current release of Maximo Spatial, which is actually 7111. Because that was a fixed pack that we actually released to support the most recent release from ESRI. So that supports their ESRI 931 Service Pack 1. We are also delivering some engineering fixes so that we could support what's called version editing in default. So if a customer would prefer to be able to edit on the map, and they call this the default version, so when engineers are making designs for new subdivisions or modifications to equipment, we'd like to be able to see those in our service territory as quickly as possible so that we don't do unnecessary maintenance. And what they do is they reconcile and they post these changes into the default view. And that's where us as maintenance maintainers and engineers can see all the planned work. So that becomes very important that we can exchange that information with maintenance as well as with the construction groups to be able to work efficiently. They currently released a Service Pack 2, which was just released, and we also have a fix that will support that service pack. So we're up and current with all the current releases of ESRI's 931 product. As we move into the future, of course, we'll be supporting their next future releases, and we're able to stay up with that quite effectively. I talked about the dramatic new look and feel and how QA immediately validated that there was over a 50% improvement just in performance. We've been able to have a full beta program with our customers, working with our business partners, as well as with GBS. And they've given us some great feedback when we brought this product to market to work with 712. So we have many customers now, well over 100 throughout the world, that are planning their projects on this new release with the JavaScript REST API. And we'll be having many of these going live in each subsequent quarter as we move forward through this year and next. Moving on to slide 25 is another reference slide for you. There were some recorded T-Tech sessions for the Maximal Spatial release. There's actually four of them, and the links are here that will give you a general overview of that session, actual live demonstrations, how the functionality works with the new REST API, how the new service address application works to support geocoding to locate items immediately on a map. And also then there's a technical session for those that are involved in our services organizations as business partners, as well as our own people and as our customers, to better understand how do you install this technology and configure it to support your best practices. Moving on to slide 26, I have more reference information for you that will take you to the actual product page and the Spatial Information Center, which give you the detailed documentation for the product, and also we have an actual wiki for the Enterprise Asset Management that it can bring you to that. Now, let me step back for a moment and help give you a view into the future, because I think when you position our product, it's important that customers know that you understand the business problems they face and what we have on our roadmap to help them solve these problems as we continue to deliver product in the marketplace. I have this disclaimer up, of course, because what I'm about to talk about is future development and what we have on our roadmap. But I want you to have some insight into that, and it really helps your credibility when you're in a sales situation, when they realize that you do understand the kinds of business problems that they're facing and that they're trying to solve. So moving on to slide 28, I've given you a summary of these areas that we're addressing in future product development. Now, you heard me talk about compatible unit estimating, and for some parts of the world outside of North America, they look at this, as I described, more as just construction estimating. So we're actually looking at some design methods within the product to be able to expose CUs directly from the work order and from the job plans, which will actually make it, I think, a more natural construction estimating process for many of our customers outside of North America. They'll still have the full rich capability of using the compatible units and construction library, but it will allow them to do that more naturally through the job plan and the work order and more efficiently. And I'll just call that pretty much a streamlining compatible unit estimating for some of your more routine, simple kinds of construction work. We're also going to be creating assets from compatible units. So that means that when you're actually finished your compatible unit, you can create the asset record directly for that, and then when it's, of course, operational, change that status as operational and already have the asset in your registry ready to be managed. We are going further to add the map tab, not just to its current application, but also to the compatible units application, so you can see exactly where this work is planned in the service territory from the compatible units. We are doing great work on mobile workforce management, actually combining the work of our teams, our core scheduling team. We're looking at the schedule optimization, leveraging our iLog technology for that. Also supporting dispatching and taking our mobile EveryPlace product and being able to support that with a map base. So this in combination on a map base, we could support then routing and dispatching and schedule optimization. So that's where we're headed, is to really help, I'll say, fill that gap that exists today where customers might be using other third-party solutions and doing a great deal of work to integrate it. So we're working to solve that problem for our customers. Asset convergence will continue to be something that we look at, and that is as more of these assets that we have out there become more intelligent or almost, you know, like computer-type assets where they're IP addressable, there may be firmware that has to be managed. We can manage that with our IT asset management product converged with our asset management product. We'll continue to, of course, provide support to a scheduler for crews, We are adding some capabilities that support NERC-SIP. That's the critical infrastructure protection, but it's not just to provide support for that. It's really a way of providing support and reporting against all regulatory standards. So what we've done is we've actually, we're going to add a field to the assets themselves, which will identify the customer to identify specifically what type of critical asset this is for infrastructure protection, so that they can report on these. And then on the job plans and on the work orders, we'll be able to have the standard that that work plan supports be copied down to the actual work order itself, so that you could report on all work that supports different standards that you have to comply with by various regulatory agencies, as well as there'll be a simple way to indicate on a work order if there was an incident of sabotage that occurred on the infrastructure itself. And that's also supporting the requirements for reporting. We'll add further support for meter event tracking for things like tamper alarms. We will support the gas leak management process and 192 valve reporting. We are going to look at ways to more fully support graphical crew assignments so that that can be done quickly. Remember, you heard me talk a little bit about the morning shuffle. Well, this is a way to be able to manage that quite quickly and be able to reassign crews when those need to be changed, which also could be important in a storm-type situation. Work order crediting and reporting has to do with the way that many utilities will work with subcontractors on various parts of work, and they'll actually pay for credit of what percentage of that work or project has been completed. So this helps to expedite the way that they manage not only the progress of work done by contractors, but pay them according to the amount of work that's been reported as complete at that point in time. Automatic vehicle locating will be supported, or what's also called a location-based services, so you can identify where trucks, where vehicles may be at any given time if you need to dispatch assignments to them. Network tracing is also an area that we're looking to support, so you can look at tracing an actual electric or a water network. And then, of course, further changes to support capital work planning and forecasting. Now, we also recognize that our customers are going to be upgrading their customer information systems and outage management systems. So we're looking more at ways on how our maximum integration framework can support those changes as we move forward. So that gives you a pretty broad look into not specific time frame, but what's on our roadmap as we continue to advance and solve business problems for our customers. So with that, I'll direct you to slide 29 and like to turn this over to Ron Wallace to walk you through a discussion of the pricing that is available for Maximal for Utilities.
Thanks, Terry. Well, I think the pricing information is pretty simple. There's two types of pricing, one for a full user and one for an add-on. I think this is pretty standard throughout the other Maximo industry solutions. Chart 30 shows you what those numbers are. For the first license, including first-year maintenance, is $5,530. Maintenance renewal is standard 20%. For an existing client, adding the capability on a license they already have, it's $1,550, and again, the 20% maintenance renewal. This is pretty standard information for the first seat. I would have you check with your normal methods for validating pricing, which, of course, would be different for large deals and discounting that might apply and things like that. But this is the standard pricing. If we go to chart 31, I want to spend a few more minutes talking about ESRI. ESRI is a dominant player in public sector and has a growing market share in utilities, which is why we had decided to work so closely with them. They're a very innovative organization. They have, in North America, very strong account coverage, and their sales model is quite different than ours. And we see that normally whoever covers an account is very involved in it and stays in touch with them on a very regular basis. And if there's an opportunity to work together, it's always advantageous to reach out to them and learn what they know about it. And we've had good success doing that. They have strong industry expertise in the utility industry. They also are a global organization, but what they've done in most cases outside the U.S. is they have what are essentially separate companies that have very strong linkage back to the corporate organization. So I'm also highlighting this sort of name change where they went from ESRI to wanting to be called ESRI, and it was a little bit of a joke at their last user group meeting where everyone, they handed out T-shirts to people that said, dude, it's ESRI. So if you're talking to the ESRI reps, try to remember to call them ESRI, not ESRI. If we go to chart 32, this just gives you an idea of the kind of coverage they have and the fact that they've got good international support. This is really for reference later on. Going to chart 33, just continuing in the vein, if you're going to be promoting Maximo Spatial as part of your sale, please reach out early to the ESRI folks and figure out how you can leverage them in the account. If you don't know who the ESRI account manager for an account is, I'm going to give you the name of a person at ESRI. His name is Julio Olimpio, and his full-time job is alliance activities with IBM. So chart 34, probably worth spending a couple minutes on this, but my client doesn't use ESRI. So I'll just mention the fact that ArcGIS Server does have very strong interoperability capabilities, so there is a possibility the client might be open to continuing to use Maximo Spatial and use some of these interoperability tools to connect to their GIS system. However, I would say in the utility space, many gas distribution utilities are using GE Small World, and they really want a tighter integration between Maximo and GE Small World. So on one activity that we're doing is we're working directly with GE Small World and building an integration between the latest version of their software and the latest version of ours. It's scheduled to be released in mid-2011. There are also some other third parties that we've worked with. One that we've had good success with is an organization called Spatial Business Solutions. It's staffed by several ex-Small World executives, so they know the software very well. They've built some special tools to easily integrate between ESRI and Small World. They've also built linkage between Maximo and Small World that's somewhat of a template that they can bring in. There's also a new group in IBM. There's a GBS group that has formed a GIS Center of Excellence, and they're beginning to get up to speed and being able to do these sort of one-off integrations. And customers have been successful with another partner called ActiveG, who has the ability to do integration to most GIS systems in they might be a possibility for you in the case where it's not one of the common ones. And then I would say that integration to Intergraph and some of the others is always going to be done by services or a third party on a case-by-case basis. Going to chart 35, here's the key contacts relative to ESRI. In marketing, it's myself, Ron Wallace. There is an IBM ESRI Alliance Manager named Rob Culp. This used to be his full-time job. It's not anymore. He's also in the GBS GIS Center of Excellence, but he can often be very helpful. And then, of course, from a product perspective, there's Terry. At ESRI, there's Julio Olimpio. Again, full-time job, making things work with IBM. Do not hesitate to send him an email saying, I'm working with an account, I need to know if they're an ESRI account, if there's an account rep, if they would help us promote Maximo for Utilities or Maximo Spatial. So he's very helpful and responsive. I would encourage you to take advantage of that. Chart 36 kind of covers the people you'd most often want to talk to related to this solution. Terry at the top of the list. Gary Cooper is the specialist on Maximo Spatial. Jerry Miller is the specialist around utility T&D questions, certainly very knowledgeable about everything in the Maximo for Utilities offering. And, again, he's in development but very willing to help and has gotten on airplanes to go help people out all around the globe. Again, myself. And Diane Dupuy, who's the worldwide leader for utilities, she has this overlay role and can work effectively in every geography and is a good person to contact. Kim Woodbury, who's in our product strategy group, can help with future strategy and commercial product-type questions. And then Don Finhagen is the GBS person who heads up the spatial implementation work that GBS is doing. Chart 37, this is focused more from a Maximo perspective, who the leaders are in the various geographies. Again, you'll see Diana's at the top of the list, but the worldwide sales leader, director, is Lee Blakemore. I'm sure all of you would be familiar with the content on this chart, but in case there's any confusion, we've listed them for you. And that concludes our Tivoli talk on Maximo for Utilities, and we want to wish you all happy selling and look forward to interacting with all of you during the year.
The best to all of you.